Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Pablo Jenner, 17 years of career experience, tailboard firefighter on Ladder 4 for the City of Jacksonville Fire Rescue, co-founder of Build Your Culture LLC. Pablo is a straight shooter type firefighter who loves the job with so much passion and energy you can clearly hear it by the way he speaks. He's going to tell you the truth no matter who's around, but what's important is what he speaks is all facts. I truly appreciate the conversation I had with Pablo, and I hope the listeners will too. With that, I present Mr. Pablo Jenner.
Pablo Jenner, and I got into the fire service, and after coming back from college ball, I tried a failed attempt at a collegiate career, and I found myself trying to figure out what I was going to do next in my life, and through the grace of God, just literally found a friend of mine that said, "Hey, why don't you try the fire service, or why don't you do a ride along? You know, just see if you like it. It might be right up your alley." And best decision I ever made. And that was just about 17 years ago now. So best decision ever.
And so I take it nobody in the family's in the fire service. You're the first
Correct.
One.
Correct. I'm a first generation fireman. First generation American. We're from Cuba originally. My whole family is originally from Cuban. So we are first generation everything to the United States.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned failed collegiate attempt, and it's okay. It happens. You tried it. It didn't work for you. Now, upon finding the fire service, was it you just apply for Jacksonville the first time and you got it, or did you kind of apply everywhere and whatever department gave you the first shot you took?
That's a great question. So as far as working for the City of Jacksonville, I've only been here now a couple of years. So my as I was coming out of a fire academy back in late 2006, early 2007, that time frame, I don't know how it was in the rest of the country, but in the state of Florida, it was crazy insane to get a job down here, brother. So I remember vividly one of our instructors from the fire academy. I went to fire academy down in Dade County, Miami-Dade County. The instructors were telling all the recruits, like, "Hey, don't put all your eggs in the Miami-Dade basket. You know, just try anywhere, because nobody was hiring at the time." And by the stroke of luck, just to make a very long story short, stroke of luck, a department in Central Florida, Marion County, a great department, city, it was where the city of Ocala is at and where the state fire college is at that time was doing a hiring boom, even though nobody else was hiring at the time, was doing a hiring boom, because I came in during a time frame where a failed ambulance service was on the way out of the county, and the fire department was turning into fire rescue at the time, and they were basically hiring a lot of people, boatload of people, to cover the newly formed fire rescue, the 20-30 ambulances or so that they bought for the fireside, to make them fire rescue units and fire-based ambulances. So I was in that, you know, I tested and I got hired, and I was in that first initial wave of people getting hired. But man, in that time frame, that was a chore to get hired, brother.
Okay. I can imagine. I mean, back then, like you mentioned, that era, that time, you know, in the world, the fire departments, I believe all over the country, was very, very hard, very, correct, very competitive to get a job. So I understand. And Florida is also one of those things where was it like it back then where paramedics, if you had your paramedic cert, you were looked at like, oh, that's what they wanted right there?
100%. As a matter of fact, when I first got hired in Marion, I wasn't in medic school, and the job was so competitive back then that I was in, so medic school that time frame in the college that I was going at was 4 semesters long, and I was about maybe about a month into second semester when I tested and got hired in Marion, and it was so competitive that I decided to take the job as opposed to stay in medic school. Now, mind you, don't get me wrong. I won't live in a glass house, like without throwing the stone. I'll throw the stone living in a glass house. In hindsight, should I have stayed in medic school? And I can't answer that. It would have helped to get a job in South Florida at that time, maybe, but I just took the job because it was so competitive. And then I ended up never going back. It's just something that I took it. And it's one of those interesting things that now, like, I'm going to eventually go. I actually want to do something. And it's a bucket list in my career that I actually want to do nowadays, which I one time I didn't think I was ever going to go, I was ever going to do, but it's a bucket list thing now. But in hindsight, if I were to talk to my younger self again, I would just say, hey, just stay in it, complete it, because it's that it is a necessity, especially in the state of Florida. But it was so competitive, I ended up taking the job.
Okay. So upon entering your first department with Marion, was it everything you thought the fire service would be, or was it totally something different?
Wow, man, that's such a good question. Yes, yeah, I thought the fire service was for people that truly just enjoyed the job. Like the way that I was brought up around the fire service, the way my introduction to the fire service was around guys that really enjoyed the job. So like they didn't take it to levels when they were talking to me at that time, at that particular time frame. They didn't take it to levels that were movie like. They weren't like, oh, we're fighting fire every single day. We're rescuing, giraffes and penguins out of flaming cars and coming out and every no, they weren't telling me that type of stuff. So if this makes any sense, I didn't have a veil over my face going in. And then when I get into the fire service, the veil was quickly ripped off, like where I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? We're not diving out of skyscrapers every single day, going into a 4-bedroom inferno, bringing out, the baby giraffe, every single day. It wasn't, the veil wasn't ripped off. So, because I had a lot of good mentors coming in, I wasn't, it was exactly what I was expecting, if that makes any sense. But within that, I still fell in love with it because I knew the type of individual that I was admiring. I had no problem. I've never had a problem looking at an individual and saying, "Man, I like the way that cat carries himself. I like the way that he presents himself. I like the way or she, for that matter, it doesn't matter. I have no problem setting my ego aside. I'm confident in myself to set my ego aside and look at someone and be like, man, I like that. That's pretty cool. I like the way they carry themselves." So I just modeled my career after the way that they carried themselves in their firehouse or stuff like that. So it wasn't a surprise as to like the types of calls that we were running and running calls overnight. That type of stuff wasn't a surprise.
All right. So with that being said, how long, well, I'm gonna kind of back up. Was Jacksonville always the goal, or was it an opportunity that you saw that you were like, man, Jacksonville's probably a bigger department than your current department at the time? And so what made that decision like, I'm gonna go for it?
Absolutely. It wasn't Jacksonville at the time wasn't the goal. I didn't know what the goal was at the time. Like I didn't have a set department. I was having a lot of fun in Marion County. The goal was just to go catch work. I was one of those weird cats, and I still am. I enjoy being busy. I enjoy catching work. I enjoy going to extrications. I enjoy going to fires. Hell, for that matter, I enjoy going to just hearing the federal cue. I don't care. Like I'm not one of those weird cats that's like, oh, we got to go do a PR event. Oh, I don't care. I enjoy it all. I enjoy coming in, checking out the trucks, all that type of stuff. So, the goal was just to catch more work. It was no, it, and by no means am I saying, for whoever is listening out there, am I saying that Marion County is not a busy department. Pure numbers lets you know that they are 26 houses, 500 guys, 6 battalions, 100,000 calls a year, give or take. It's a very big busy in big departments. Some of the busier houses are running upwards of 15 to 20 runs a day. So it's a busy house. I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted a little bit more. So not necessarily that Jacksonville was the goal, but I was chasing something else. You know, I liked. I always was enamored with big city firefighting. The challenges that those types of terrains bring. And like I said, by no means am I saying that you don't get certain challenges in smaller municipalities, smaller counties, or something along those lines. You know, some of the best firemen across the country sit in those departments, and I know that for a fact. That's 100%. But me for my personal, I was chasing that urban core style department.
Okay. And so upon embarking towards Jacksonville, I'm assuming, did you have to, was it a lateral transfer, or did you have to kind of go through everything again in academy, and all that
No,
jazz?
it's everything all over again. You know, it's and that's where you have to you have to understand how to put your ego aside. You have to be able to play the game, of saying, hey, I'm in someone else's house right now, and that's kind of like the hardest thing for people to understand when you do that type of move, whether you have 2 months on the job, 5 months on the job, 5 years, or 25 years. When you do that type of move, is it doesn't matter if you are going from a small department to a big department, or you're going from a big department to a small department. It doesn't matter. That really does not matter. What matters is how you carry yourself coming into that particular department. Because you could come from, let's say, if I do it backwards, I go from the city of Jacksonville to Marion County. You know, for that matter, I go from city of Chicago to fucking Key West. It doesn't matter. If I go in and I go to fucking, I don't know, city of Key West, and I've been on a squad company in the city of fill in the blank, whatever, and I'm just an asshole about it, they're not gonna treat me very well. You know, they're gonna be like, well, that's cool that you did it like this in the city of whatever, but you are now in our county or in our municipality, and you have to learn our way. And the best analogy that I could give you on that is, you know, like humans, every human eats at some point or another. You eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Doesn't matter how you grew up, whether low income, high income, whether doesn't matter your race, gender, doesn't matter. You eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is what it is. Welcome to being a human. But at some point or another, every house does it a little bit different. You know, your folks might cook a little bit different than my folk, you know, and all of a sudden you come over here and you're like, you know what, my mama makes it a little bit saltier. You know, you're gonna piss off my mom, be like, well, I don't give a fuck how your mom did it, you're eating at my house right now. You know what I mean? So
Right.
it's one of those things. That's the way you kind of have to approach it, where you just have to learn a new system. And if you're not willing to learn a new system, if you're too enamored with your old system, then it's just not going to work. It's not going to be a proper marriage. You have to be able to set your ego aside on that one.
Okay. So you're currently on ladder four. So upon finishing up recruit class and all that good stuff, was there a particular department or a particular station that you were looking to go to, or did it just kind of happen over time?
I wanted to go to a ladder truck. I won't ever lie on that. I wanted to go a ladder truck. Jacksonville has plenty of ladder trucks across our city, and I wanted one of those coming out of Recruit Academy. And I did. I was able to get one, but it wasn't the one that I'm currently assigned to right now. I got to a South Side ladder truck. In the middle of the ladder truck where I'm at and where I came on at, I just finished literally. And when I tell you, like, literally, I'm talking a week ago, I finished a stint over at the training academy. So what that means is, I was very kindly asked to go to the training academy and help out with the recruits out there. Like I said, coming in, you play the, you understand your role. I understand my role, and I tried to play it at to the best of my abilities. And I was able to do that to the point that I was asked to go to the training division and work with recruits. So I was there for the last, I did a 9 month stint there at the training division working with our recruit program. I did two full classes, and literally last week, brother, like our last class just graduated, and I was able to get assigned to Ladder 4, which is our TRT house in downtown Jacksonville. We share that house with a squad company, with a heavy rescue, with a fire-based ambulance, and a battalion chief that comes out of there. And on any given day, I could either ride the ladder, the squad company, the heavy rescue, depending on the manpower for the day. So I'm very happy. Let's just say I'm very happy where I'm at. But like a week ago, like no bullshit, bro. A week ago, I was literally at the training academy training recruits, which that in itself is crazy. You know, like that. I never thought I would actually be at a training academy for the city of Jacksonville training recruits. But that was a fun stint.
Okay. For those that don't know, including myself, can you tell us a little bit about Jacksonville? How many stations, size, do engine work, trucks do truck work, things of that nature?
We are a very traditional fire department. We are probably, I'm going to probably piss off a couple guys in the state of Florida here, but we're probably the closest thing in the state of Florida to a traditional Northeast style fire department that there is. I'm not saying that there isn't one another one in the state, but we're very close to it. We do have two separate divisions. Our ambulance division, our rescue, aka our ambulance division, is separate from our suppression division. And then within our suppression division, our engines are true engines. They extricate, but I notice how I say that. They don't have the traditional hydraulic tools or hydraulics that you think of when you think of extrication. They could get an extrication started with traditional hand tools if needed. But for the most part, our truck companies and our squad companies operate as the extrication assignment. So our ladder trucks extricate traditionally, and our squad companies extricate traditionally. We have five squads across the city that are like the, if I use kind of like a random analogy, they're kind of like the five children of the heavy rescue that roams the city, the central part of the city. So if the heavy rescue goes and it's needed, most likely you're going to find maybe two, three, or all five squads converging with the heavy rescue together. So it's one heavy rescue and five squads. We have our 16, so excuse me, 17, so 17, our 17 ladder trucks, 73 firehouses, just under 2,000 line firemen, so about 2,000 line firemen, 73, 74 houses. We're growing. Like literally, we just opened up 74, but we don't. Where there's a couple houses that are numbered that are not actual houses. So even though we have like number 74, it'll be like 71 or 72 houses. Like I said, and just under 2,000 firemen. It's a big fire department. The biggest. I believe we're second largest, only to Miami-Dade in the state of Florida. It's a very, very large fire department, and
Okay.
very traditionally ran too.
What's your minimum staffing on your engines?
Our engines, so depending on if it's a safe, we do have safer engines. Usually towards our urban core, you'll have a couple of safer engines, which those are minimum staffed at four. If it's not a safer engine, then it'll just be the regular three man, but it'll be a minimum staffing of three man. But some, there's a handful right now, off the top of my head, I don't know how many, but there's a handful of engines across the city that are four. The minimum staffing on the ladder trucks is going to be four because we're tiller heavy. Since we're tiller heavy, obviously you need the two chauffeurs, the officer, and at least a tailboard fireman. So the maximum staffing on the tillers are five, but we usually roll four on the tillers. Our staffing on the squads is always going to be four. That doesn't, all of our squads are four, so it doesn't drop down from that. Same thing on our tower ladders. Our staffing on the tower ladder, because we have two tower ladders, the tower ladders belong to the hazmat team, so the two tower ladders are staffed at four. Our ambulances are staffed at two. That's about it. Oh, and then our chiefs all have chief drivers, chiefs aides, so they're staffed at two.
Okay. So when you, I just wanted, there's two things I want to clarify. You said safer engines. What exactly does that mean? The
It's
safer engine?
like a grant that the city provides to the
Gotcha.
that's the actual city provides to the department
Gotcha.
to make sure that certain engine companies are fully staffed based off of the population that are that they're serving in a particular part of the city. ISO points to Hohenheim Yards. We're actually the largest ISO Class 1 department in the country.
Okay. Okay. And you mentioned you have one heavy rescue and
Correct.
five squad companies. So like the squads are, and this is like no disrespect to anybody that rides a squad, but it's like a mini version of the heavy rescue truck, correct?
It is a common. Our squads are our engine comp. Think about the analogy. I hate to go to another department as an analogy, but a lot of people are so familiar with the FDNY. Think about
Gotcha.
the squad. Think about the squads in the FDNY. Like they're
Okay.
engine companies that have more than the regular engine company, but less than the
Heavy
special op.
rescue.
It's a
Right.
little bit less than the full blown special operations heavy rescue or whatever. So our squads are kind of a mixture of a truck company and an engine. It's the only they're the only trucks in the city, or the engine companies in the city, apparatuses that have extrication, like true extrication equipment on board, hydraulics. They have rope available for any type of quick rope rescue setups or whatever, high angle stuff. So it's like a combination of the engine and the truck. Somewhere in the middle of that is the squad, and the squads, like I said, they operate as our main function is operating as a RIT company on fires. We send a squad company to every fire in the city as a RIT company. Well, we send a squad company and a ladder company to every RIT fire to every fire in the city as a RIT company.
Okay, understood. Understood. And if a structural box comes in within the city of Jacksonville, what is your first assignment complement comprised of?
Yeah, so we have three engines, two ladder trucks, right? That's your run of the mill. Then on top of the three engines, two ladder trucks, you're going to get another ladder truck and another squad. So in total, it's four engines, three trucks. But the other two, the other complement, it's coming with it is a RIT company. So that extra engine, or excuse me, that extra squad and that extra ladder is your RIT complement that's coming.
Okay. All right. With that being said, my first official question to you, what does the term aggressive mean to you, Pablo Jenner?
Disciplined. That's an easy one to answer. There's no such thing as aggressive. Aggressive to me means that I'm disciplined. I'm disciplined enough to do my job. I'm disciplined enough to, if I take the rear, to have a tactical understanding of my job, of my duties. What do I need to do to get the job accomplished? Do I need to search? Do I need to just vent while waiting for the engine company to make a push inside? Any of the above? Do I need to secure power? Do I need to throw a ladder to take the roof? Do I need to take the roof? Any of the above? Aggressive means that I'm going to do my job intelligently, not back away from my job because I have been fear-mongered by someone else, or I have fear-mongered myself because I'm not prepared to do my job. So since I'm not prepared to do my job, I automatically will become fearful of my job, which in turn you're not going to be aggressive, which is you're not going to be disciplined.
Okay. All right. With that being said, you mentioned when you were finishing up recruit class in Jacksonville, the ladder was always what you wanted. And I'm sure you've heard the banter back and forth between the engine company, the ladder company, squad companies, whatever the case may be. I think everyone has a place on the fire ground. Everyone has a key role, key component. And I know that people give each other shit, but besides that though, why the ladder company? Like, why was that something you were, looking at?
I enjoy the being independent. Ladder work is to be cliche about it, it's just more independent. I've been on I'll say it like this because there's obviously quints. State of Florida is a quint dominated department, or excuse me, quint dominated state. So I've been on an apparatus with an aerial on it for the better part of my year career. Usually, I think starting around 2011 or 12, around that time frame, give or take, I got put on my first ladder truck, and I've just I haven't looked back since. Having said that, I like free thinking. I like to be able to make my own decisions as to, okay, well, when I take the rear and I'm back here by myself, because I'm operating, because my officer might be inside, he's inside team, he might be inside team, or she might be inside team, or my officer just sends me to the rear to take a quick look at what I have. I like that form of independence. It empowers your individuals, it empowers your firemen to be more intelligent, and then the intelligent fireman will default to being aggressive fireman, going back to tying back to the first question. So I like that. I like to be able to think. I like to read the fire ground like a playbook, like an NFL playbook, if you think about it. Like a good quarterback, a good anybody on the team, anybody on the field should be able to look at what's happening on the other side, whether defense or offense, and read the field. Those are the top tier guys. We should be able to read the field. And as a ladderman, I think you should be able to read the field. If you read the field, you're a damn good ladderman. Having said that, going to what you just said about we always give each other shit. I truly, truly think that engine work, like I'm gonna say, there's a cliche term, but as the first line goes, the fire goes. If you fumble fuck the first line, I could be coming with whatever apparatus, with whatever name on it, with whatever color scheme on it you want that doesn't have water on it, and you're not going to put out the fire. I cannot put a hole and put out the fire. I can't beat the fire out. I'm going to have to put water on it at some point or another, and you need to be able to stretch properly. You need to be able to have good discipline as a nozzle man to understand where and how to apply the water. So even though I personally gravitate to ladder work, before I did, I did spend time on a busy engine company in Marion County under the tutelage of a very good officer, and I learned how to be a nozzle man before I even begin to think about, let me pick up this saw and ladder and do some work with this saw and ladder.
I love that you bring that up because it's a thing that I have seen with, I don't want to say this generation because it's not the generation, but the time that we're in, we're bringing in people into our departments, and it's like we are trying to fast track them to, okay, all right, you get hired, all right, within a year you're going to be checked off to drive. And to me, when you do that, you lose that art of making that individual become a true fireman, where they need to learn the sets and reps and skills of stretching lines, making sure you know how to flow water, making sure you are looking for what you need to look for, the signs and things like that. And it's just, to me, it's like a lost art where we're bringing people on, and everyone knows fire department's struggling getting people on, but then we're not giving them that time to grow into their role. Instead, we're just like, all right, you ready? All right, promoted, relief driver. Then they move up the ranks so fast that they're losing that sense of art.
No, bro, I mean, you couldn't have hit that more on the head there. And funny thing is, it doesn't matter whether you're a small department or large department, it will that trend unfortunately follows everybody. That's like one of those things that departments are few and far between that are able to say, okay, stay as a fireman for this X amount of years. Get your time here, get your time there, get your experience before you start. Unfortunately, we don't have that in the American Fire Service nowadays. You just kind of, I don't know. I don't know. I wish that I told you what the fix for that was, because you could make the argument of having someone stay as a fireman for an X amount of years, but then I could, on the same side of the coin, I'll be like, well, what firehouse are they at? We all does not matter. You can work for fucking, East Armpit, fucking Arkansas, or the city of New York. We all have departments that are, excuse me, firehouses that don't run that much fire. And then we have the, and it doesn't matter. You could be the most rural department, or once again, New York, and you have houses that run a lot of fire. So it's like, Well, what house were you at when you spent, 7 years there as a tailboard fireman, and now you're gonna, or 8 years there as a tailboard fireman? So it's like, I don't know what the fix for that is. Do you log hours at fires? Do you log hours in training? Do you log hours in conferences? Do you log? I don't know what the fix for that is, but I do notice that we do promote people with a lot, with not a lot of experience under their belt in chaotic situations, and reading the fire ground, as I like to say, reading the playbook, what comes next. And I think that's so hard. I don't envy anybody, honestly, that in the promotional process that has to look at someone and be like, well, I'm going to promote you because we have to, because you passed the test and we need the position. But damn, I really don't want to. I don't envy that. That's luckily I haven't reached that point in my career yet.
How important would you say it is that you were fortunate where you had that individual? You said when you were in Marion County that you're on that busy engine company that he took you per se like under his wing and showed you. I think it's very vital that in order to promote how you want someone to be when it comes to the fire ground, firehouse life, like everybody needs to have that quote unquote mentor that they can go to, ask questions, fumble in front of them, and they're going to correct you and it tell you it's okay to mess up, things like that. Like, so in your opinion, did that help your fire service career having those
100.
individuals like that?
Yeah, 100%. We held each other accountable in what we wanted to see. As far as not only from a daily standpoint of like, how do you come in and present yourself? How do you check off the rig? How do you run basic medical calls and just talk to our clients? At the end of the day, they're our clients. How do you prepare? How do you go about it? How do you go about your job when you're in a chaotic situation? All of that was talked about, and then like all of it was talked about, and the it was stressed to know your job very, very well before you start thinking about going to the other job. And I remember one day I wanted to teach forcible entry. Damn, man, at this time, shit, I probably had 4 or 5 years in the job, somewhere around that time frame. I had 4 or 5 years in the job, and we had a damn trailer that went to the back of our firehouse, like a mobile fire simulator that went to the back of our firehouse, and it just ended up coming to our house, and they were going to run some battalion training through it. I'll never forget. I was like, hey, Lou and Scott Ramage, man, this is who I'm talking about. One of about 5 or 6 mentors that I have on the job that helped me become who I am today as far as a fireman is concerned. I was like, hey, Lou, I want to teach this. And he was like, nah, man. Like, and I he said it respectfully. No matter how I'm gonna say it right now, it's gonna sound like he said it in a douche way, but he didn't. He was saying it respectfully. He goes, nah, man, you're not ready for this. And I he goes, you understand. He goes, you understand how to force doors. This is not about Pablo can't force a door. This is about how are you able to regurgitate this information to the individual that is asking you. Are you just regurgitating the information because you're regurgitating what I taught you, or do you just truly understand it yet? What's going to happen when he or she asks you a question, and now you have a deer in the headlights look because the question that he or she asked you is not part of the algorithm that I taught you? That right there, that little extra algorithm of not that what I didn't teach you, that is called the experience factor. Like that is right there. That right there is the experience. Like, so I could learn something. So you and I could go learn something from you right now. If I come back and I never experience it, I'm going to teach what you taught me. But as soon as someone asks me, hey, how do I do this? This is what my face is going to look like. Oh, fuck. And right there, I lost all credibility to you as a student. You'll be like, this fucking guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Right, because I don't have the experience factor to back it up, and that's all. Man, that's so important. That is the most important thing that was taught to me. And I truly, as you can tell, to this day, I still believe in it nowadays. And I'm big on what are you teaching? Are you teaching skills or are you teaching tactics? Those are two different things. Like, I don't mind. Let's just say one of my cats at the firehouse is a bull. He's a monster at throwing ladders, or something's whatever. He's a monster at tying the basic knots, the basic family of eight knots, the most basic thing in the world, right? But he's a monster at it. I have no problem saying to someone, "Hey, man, you want to you let listen, watch this technique right here. This might help you." From this kid that's got 2 or 3 months on the job, or 2 years or 3 years on the job, because he's just teaching a skill. But teaching the tactic, that's a whole different ballgame. If you're going to teach the tactic along with the skill, I would strongly suggest to have the experience behind that, because that's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Definitely. Love it. Love it. Okay. So when you're on shift, what kind of realistic training do you and your company, perform at the firehouse? Because I'm sure with the size of Jacksonville, I'm sure you guys have like a training ground, maybe with a tower and things like that. But if you just can't, let's say you can't make it out there that day, what kind of stuff does your company do within the station?
So to just go back to what you said, yes, we do have a large training ground, very large. We actually share the grounds with the Florida State Fire College at Jacksonville, FSCJ. It's a large training ground. It's got a USAR field, a little hazmat, train derailment, a tower to do drills in, a burn building to do drills in. So it's an evoc track. It's a very large training ground. So we do have the not every department has that type of available to them, man. On ARF, we have an ARF an ARF track to go, do our airport firefighting drills out and stuff like that. So we have a shipboard prop, because we border this the not only the St. John's River but the Atlantic Ocean. So we have a lot of stuff, and I, it's not lost on me how lucky we are, because not a lot of departments have that type of resources available to them. But within the firehouse, us personally, since I am on a USAR team, technical rescue team. Not only at Station 4, but my prior station before I got to 4 was also a USAR house. We did a lot of just TRT training, whether it be ropes, whether it be a lot of extrication. We just that's I don't want to say that's the bread and butter, because our bread and butter is firefighting, but we do put in a lot of time in our craft when it comes to the USAR side. We'll go up to the junkyards. We'll do the junkyard and do extrication training in the junkyard. We'll do company training, whether it be dropping lines, whether it be throwing ladders over at the training division. But usually in the firehouse, we're definitely on a weekly basis. I don't want to say daily basis, because we are busy firehouse, but at least on a weekly basis, it is for sure. We got our hands on our rope equipment and our USAR stuff, and we're throwing ladders, et cetera, et cetera. So,
Okay.
yeah.
With you saying throwing ladders and you being definitely a ladder guy for sure, I want to ask you a question. We all know 24 foot should be a single man, single woman throw all day long. All right. So we progress to the 28. I believe the 28 is, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 more pounds, but to me, it's still, you should still be able to throw 28 single man.
Correct.
35 to me gets a, like, as soon as you mentioned a 35, people are like, whoa, whoa. So my question, do you have Duo Safety or Alkalite 35s?
Dual safety, two
So
section.
it's two section. I, being on a quint, because I can't say ladder because we have water, I have finally formed the notion that I understand departments that say two man, but I live in the real world where the fire ground is very unpredictable. Nothing's black and white. You can have SOPs and SOGs on how you're going to act on the fire ground, but there's going to be a time where shit's going to hit the fan and you're going to have to step up or move aside or fail and let that customer, meaning the community, down.
Very true.
I have kind of perfected not a shoulder throw, but I can throw a 35 singly. What's your thoughts on one person 35s?
I have no problem on it, as long as you are prepared for it and have the reps on it. To quote a good friend of mine, Rob, Robbie Ramirez, I always hate to take people's quotes without quoting them. Reps replace doubt, and you have to be able to, you have to be able to have the reps in on that. A 35-foot extension or 35-foot extension, whether alkalite or dual safety, they can be a bear to throw. Obviously, the alkalite is a lot shittier to throw than the dual safety, but and a three section is a lot shittier to throw than a two section. But either which way, they're going to be a bear to throw. How many reps do you have under your belt on them? They are definitely not a three man. If I mean, I'll ruffle feathers right now. They're sure as fuck not a three man throw. They're sure as fuck not a four man. We need to be able to understand that's either going to be a one or a two person throw. I have it is what it is. If it's a two person throw, that's fine. But I'm not bringing a third or fourth person to do that. But as a one person throw, it is very doable. You just have to understand your balance points, especially because of the size of the ladder, being 20 foot bedded. You have to understand your balance points. That's all it is. As long as you understand your balance points, it is very, very doable. It's not the hardest ladder in the American Fire Service to throw. The hardest ladder in the American Fire Service to throw is the 20 foot roof ladder with single hooks on it.
Yes,
That's the
sir.
hardest thing to throw because you just once again you have to understand your balance points. So a 35 is just a matter of do you have the intestinal fortitude to be able to get that fucker up on your shoulder, understand your balance point, tilt it just a hair forward, shuffle as you need, do your hand placement, pull, push. If you're able to do that, then you should be good to go.
Love it. I love the fact that you also hit to me that 20. I call that thing the wild card. It's a joker because when you pull it out, people are like, man, I got this. And it's like, all right, you're about to get humbled. And you see them mess it up and they're like, what the hell? And I'm like, look at that ladder. It's light, but it's super long. And if you're not aware of the balance point, you won't get it. Like it might take you three or four times to get it, but I always like watching to see if the person can get it the first time. And when they don't, they're dumbfounded and then they try it again and it doesn't work. And I'm like, all right, we need to work on technique here. But I love that you mentioned that. And
And that's the difference right there in that 35. The 35, even though it's the same length bedded, you could as long as you shuffle it correctly and you have the ability to hold it down. As long as you shuffle it correctly and have the ability to hold it down, you won't have the off balanced ladder. You just have a heavy ladder, but okay, it is what it is. It's just a heavy ladder. Figure it out. And then that comes into techniques. When I say figure it out, as an instructor, it is our job. It is our job to help them figure it out, not just say figure it out. Like I said, as long as you have the intestinal fortitude, male or female, doesn't matter, to able to hold it and do it properly, like with the push and pull at the same time and shuffle up, as long as you're able to do that, it's doable. It's 100% doable.
Okay, love it. Love it. Personal question for you. You've been on the job for 17 years. Do you have any aspirations to promote, or is just being in the back, it's just you love it
It
too much,
was,
you don't want to give it up?
fuck, bro. It was so fun. It is so fun to be in the back of a fire truck. The short answer is yes. I'm going to promote for the first time in my career. I've actually thinking I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I'm going to take the next engineer's test that's coming up in the city. And for the first time, I'm going to do it. I never really thought about it, for whatever reason. I fell in love with the senior man concept. Everything from the way that I was brought up in the fire service through mentors to just watching YouTube videos and watching, as a young fireman, watching all these cats that are on YouTube just, walking around with their helmets and their Halligans going on fire and just coming out and talking about it. I'm like, fuck, that's what I want to do. I really fell in love with the senior man concept for a very, very long time. It's so coveted, man. It's so coveted. You got a cat that's been riding backwards for a very, very long time. And I think this is one right here to ruffle feathers. I'm not trying to be a dick to anybody that's fucking promoted. I'm not trying to be a dick to anybody that's a chief officer or nothing along those lines. But man, you got a cat that's been riding tailboard for 20 years in a busy company, county or city or whatever, been riding tailboard for 15, 16, 20 years. or you have a cat that promoted through the system. Hey, God bless you, man. You want to promote through the system? I don't care. That's fine. But all of a sudden, you think that the rank gives you the knowledge that, like, no, who do you think has more knowledge? I've been riding this thing, running on calls for the last, 20 years. You promoted at year four. You've been riding an SUV or whatever, for the last 8 or 10 years. Who do you think's got more knowledge? I mean, listen to the cat that's been riding backwards for 20 years, and I got that quote from a good buddy of mine from the city of Miami. Damn, riding a heavy rescue down there for he's been riding a heavy rescue for a very long time. And he's like, man, and he's a fireman. Why don't you listen to that cat for why don't you listen to that cat? He's been riding backwards for a very long time. So I've never had aspirations because I always wanted to be I just wanted to be that cat that just was good at his job. I always wanted to be that dude that, like, an officer was like, all right, fuck, we're about to go to X event. All right, Pablo's riding in the rear. All right, he did that. He doesn't even have to. I would take it as a fucking insult if you have to turn around and you're like, hey, I need you to grab pre-connect, da da da. At some point or another, literally, I'll be like, yeah, no shit. Thanks. Like, I take that as a fucking insult. Hey, we're going to extrication. I need you to grab the spreaders in this. Yeah, I got it. No. This is I fell in love with the ability to be able to make my own decisions. I fell in love with the ability of looking at something and be like, hey Lou or Cap, we need a side out on this. Hey man, we don't need to take the roof. We could do it with let's just do a no relief dash lift. Let's get them out. Something along those, whatever it is, like I fell in love with being able to do that. But having said all that, all good things maybe come to an end. I don't know. Right now, I really want to promote to the rank of engineer in the city. I it is a coveted position within our city. I'm eligible for it at this point, and I want it. I want it because there's a couple apparatuses that I would love to be the engineer of.
I love your answer. And I also love the fact because I can relate to you. Like, I'm on year, I'm going on year 18 and I'm still a fireman. I'm the title is senior firefighter. And trust me, I don't go around like I'm the senior firefighter. Like to me, that means nothing. All that means is I'm a relief driver. But
Facts, facts, yeah.
my goal like yours is I'm at a point in my career where I've done a lot of good being in the back, but I'm seeing the issue of people who are promoting to that next position. And this is probably gonna ruffle feathers, but whatever. I mean, most of the time, those people who get their their feathers ruffled don't listen to this anyway. But I'm tired of seeing people that are promoting that don't deserve it, that they're just promoting because they got it. And when they get to the role, when it comes to responsibilities and duties, they could care less. And I'm just tired of seeing that. So I am studying. Our test is in January. If I don't make the cut, we have there'll be another promotional process coming up for our station 7. So hopefully I can see what's on the test. And if I don't make it, then I know what I need to study and improve on. That's the humility in myself. But like you, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, man, same here. No, our test is coming up. They haven't called for it yet. They'll call for it at some point, at the maybe around the March time frame, give or take. So I might be off by a month or so. I'm passively studying now. It's time. It's
It's
time. But
time.
man, I'm gonna miss riding backwards. I just enjoy it. There's something about being a good fireman that an officer could turn around and just not have to worry about
Right.
that fucking that fucking gets me going, man. I love that shit.
With that being said, if you're successful, and I hope you are, which I probably have no doubt that you will be, when your officer, when your captain's off, does the engineer have to slide over, or can a fireman move up, or how does Jacksonville do
Yeah,
it?
we're actually pretty good with that, man. An engineer can slide if he is if he or she is checked off to do it and has the ability to. The engineer can slide over to be the boss for the day, and the the tailboard fireman could slide up and be the engineer for the day. It's not something that's uncommon here, especially for the tailboard fireman to slide up to be the engineer for the day. Once again, we're very traditional in the sense that we there are other departments out there. I know for a fact that will hire overtime for the driver if the driver calls out sick or knocked off for the day or whatever the hell it is. He's not working. They'll hire overtime for that spot. Where in the city, even if they do hire overtime for that spot, whether even if it's another driver that they're hiring for the day, when he comes into my house, the people that are at that house should know the territory better than anybody that's coming in relief for the day. So they just write up the tailboard fireman. That way, when a call comes in, especially in our urban core, man. Our urban core, we got firehouses that are up each other's ass. I could fucking jog to half of our firehouses that are the first core of like that first 10 or so are just fucking up each other's ass. So like when you're that close by, you can't afford, the gong goes off. Oh, you can't afford to be like, oh, what's the address? By the time you fucking type that thing in, your fucking first due fire turned into a third due fire. You're sitting in the front yard fucking getting a writ assignment on your first due fire. We can't afford to do that. So it's in our culture just to write up the tailboard fireman. That way when that thing goes off, the truck's going, man.
Okay. No, I get it. I get it. I get it. All right. The next topic for me, and it looks like you definitely fit the mold, fit the part. How important do you think physical fitness is for this job?
Extremely important. Extremely. I could not. I couldn't. I can't stress it enough. I think physical fitness without it, you tend to lack. You tend to lack something that is needed. On the same token, you also need to have not just physical fitness. You have to be able to have an understanding of the playbook. Remember we talked about like you have, can I read the fire ground? Can I read the playbook? You could be the greatest at physical fitness, but if you just don't have an understanding of the fire ground, also that could come back to haunt you. But having said that, you could be the greatest tactician ever. Like you could be God's gift to the fire service. But if you're not physically fit to do the job, you're a liability to yourself, you're a liability to your crew, you're a liability to the citizens that you serve. And at the end of the day, I'm not, I'm definitely 100% not trying to downplay how dangerous our job is. Our job can be dangerous at our highest levels. We are doing something extremely dangerous. Having said that, we're the bulk of the guys that we kill are cardiac related, obviously in crashes and stuff like that, but the bulk that is going to be medical issues. And man, that's put my phone on charge real quick. That is a huge thing, man. I'm huge on being able to do that, bro. Like physical fitness has to play a big part in what we do.
No, definitely. Definitely. It's one of those things that I never understood how. I mean, the thing is, like, I understand everyone has different seasons of life. You're going to go through things where, sometimes the gym becomes an afterthought, and I get it. But to the departments who know the issue but don't want to address the issue because of this PC culture world we live in, like, at some point, you got to step up and go, hey, listen, we've noticed, we're not sure if you have. Whatever issues you're going through, we want to work with them. But listen, you got to get your conditioning up to par because not only, like you just said, not only are you putting yourself, that firefighter, in danger, everybody else on the fire ground now, if something happens, it's always going to happen to the, and it's never the lightest firefighter. It's always the
No,
biggest one
absolutely.
where that causes issues. And now it's like, crap, we have a lot of work to do.
Absolutely, man. At this point in my life, and I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 years old. I do it for multiple reasons. I've been doing it for forever, but I do it for multiple reasons. Not only to stay healthy for myself, for my crew, for the job, man. But at this point, I want to enjoy my retirement too. So like, The physical fitness is so big in our industry. It needs to be bigger in our industry. I think we have a very good movement right now going on where like it's a movement that I never saw when I was coming up. You know, like there's a movement right now, like you cannot have a social media page right now without scrolling and seeing some type of, you know, in your algorithm about a fireman or, you know, like with a new challenge about doing this. Let's do this amount of burpees. Let's do this amount of you know, up downs. Let's do this, let's do that. I think that's a great movement. We obviously see, you know, all these all the smoke diver pages pop up and all the smoke diver programs pop up and stuff like that. That's something I hold a lot, I hold those guys in high respect. That's something that's a bucket list thing of mine too. I wanna attempt it. Let me to be transparent, I've attempted it. I'm a two-time failee of the program. That is a very hard program to do. Third time will be the charm for me. But so it's something that I want. Physical fitness is huge. Also, be mindful of understanding the other part of that. You have to be able to be a tactician. You have to take the classes. You have to chase the busy firehouses. You have to run the calls, get the experience, go to conferences, pick the brains of other people, come back. And then hopefully one day when you're like, man, I could run circles around people on a fire ground because I am that physically fit. And at the same time, I have the experience and I've gone you know, I've gone and to other people's sandbox and grabbed a little bit of your sandbox and grabbed a little bit of your sandbox and filled up my sandbox. Now my sandbox has your experience, my experience, your knowledge, some of my knowledge, and a lot of my physical fitness. Fuck, man, now you're a fucking monster.
Definitely. Love it. Love the message. Love the message. I kind of wanted to save this almost for the last question. I still have maybe a question or two more after this, but you are the co-founder of Build Your Culture with Sean Duffy. How did all that come together?
Oh, bro, that is, I'm gonna try to make that one a somewhat not hour long standby. What's that? Standby.
Right.
You're good. I got you. I was just turning on something there. Man, a long time ago, so Sean and I wanted to start. We wanted to start something for the regular firemen, for the people that were not working for the city of fill in the blank. And at this point, you know, like the big one up north with the four letters, you know, like it's you work for smaller departments or smaller municipalities sometimes, and you hear people say, "Oh, easy kid, it's not the FDNY or whatever." Man, that shit bothered the fuck out of me. That shit just irked me. I'm like, man, I'm not trying to be the fucking FDO. I just want to enjoy the job, man. I just want to put up a couple pictures in the firehouse. I don't mind going to calls. I don't mind running the federal queue. I don't mind, you know, like it's just be like there's a fine line between being a fucking goofball and then just but really loving the job. And then I love the job. And we wanted to start something, and we're at the Orlando Fire Conference, I think about 2018 or so, give or take, because I know we started in 19, officially started in 19. So I think it was the Orlando Fire Conference 18, and we're just having a couple drinks at the bar at the time, having a couple drinks and just talking about what can we do, and man, we should start our own thing. We should, you know, we need to build our you need to build your own culture. You know, build your own culture. It was a build your own culture. Build your own culture. We even started hashtagging, like build your own culture on Instagram. And build your own culture started build your culture. And very long story short, man, that's just it was for the everyday fireman, bro. It was for the cats that wanted an outlet and didn't want to hear anymore. Oh, hey kid, we're not the Chicago. We're not, you know, who gives a fuck, man? I'm not trying to be sure. I just want to enjoy the job. And we wanted people to have an outlet to just be like, oh, there's other like-minded firemen out there like us. So, you know, and then Sean, you know, fuck, I might have helped him crack the door, man, but that motherfucker blew that shit off the hinges. So I don't take any away from, I don't take anything away from that fucker. I'm like the cat in the background that enjoys being. I've done a few of these, don't get me wrong. Sean's done like fucking 100. But fuck, man, that dude is he's taking it to heights that I didn't think we could ever go to.
Right. So Sean's big on search. Everyone knows that. If you ever heard
Yes.
Sean speak, take a class, take a lecture, Sean's big on search. Is it the
Correct.
same for you, or what's your
Yes.
niche?
Search.
Search.
No, yeah, search was when we first started it. It was a search. It was a search thing. Search thing. Outside truck functions and search things. VES. VES. It was like, what do you want to do? Outside truck functions. VES. We wanted to do a thing about search because at that time, try to speak somewhat carefully. I'm not trying to completely ruff all kinds of feathers, but at that time, there was a big misconception of what was acceptable to search. And people looking for confirmation bias, and like, oh, we didn't need to go in there, they were dead anyway. Like, they were look, no, they weren't fucking dead. Maybe if we do our fucking job a little bit better, they wouldn't be dead. I don't know what, and it bothered the shit out of us. So the concept of search really, really intrigued us because we had the ability in the department that we worked for, we had the ability to do searches. And we wanted it to show people like, hey, what is truly survivable? What's searchable? What does that mean? That so that class searchable is survivable. All that title, all it means is what was okay? What was it's a version of our go, no go. Like what are you looking for? Can we make decisions based off of tactical experience? Do I have a high exhaust window? Do I have a low point exhaust window? What type of smoke is coming out of there? Can I put water on the smoke? Can I make a 360 on this and give me a targeted search as opposed to just running in the front door? Can I VES and can I VES beyond the door? Can I split search this? Like that was the reason behind the class because everybody was at that time just not thinking of all the ways that we can search. It was just like, oh, go in the front door, and if the smoke was pushing you out, don't go. And at that time, it was like, oh, VES was just very much pop the window. If it was too bad coming out, like the smoke was too bad coming out, we weren't gonna go in. And if you go in, you're just gonna isolate that door and do nothing else but come out, leave someone at the window. And like, no, it was just very what we called basic understanding of the search, of the art of searching. It was a very minimum standards, even though they don't teach that in minimum standards, it was our version of the minimum standard search. And that was across the country. We saw it. We saw it. We were students of the game. We still are. We fucking traveled everywhere and we're like, everybody's fucking doing this shit, like with the exception of a few pockets here and there. But we just wanted to be like, fuck it, let's encompass everything search and talk about the skill of it and the tactical application of making decisions on the fire ground on the fly, reading the fire ground.
Love it. Love it. With that being said, my last question for you, where would you like to see yourself retiring before you hang it, or where would you like to see yourself before you decide that, like you're done, you're hanging it up? And what I mean by that is, you've already said that, you're studying to hopefully be an engineer, but is that where your ceiling ends, or are you trying to, for future, references, are you trying to think higher? It's just a personal question.
No, that's fine. I got two ceilings that I'm looking at right now that I'm aiming for. I think so this is where I put my heart on my sleeve a little bit. Like, all right, so it's okay to be a it's okay to be very professional and love the job and go about it in the right way. And it's also okay to be a little kid about the job sometimes. And this is where my little goofball comes out a little bit. Man, I want to be a tillerman. I want to be a tillerman. So we're tiller heavy in the city of Jacksonville. I would like to promote to engineer. When I do, at some point or another, I would like to go on one of our ladder trucks as a tillerman, and say that I did that as an actual promoted position. I would love that. That's something that's just like the little kid in me that I would like to do. After that, I just earlier in the podcast we talked about me coming. Just literally finished a stint in the training division. I would like to finish my career there. I would like to finish my career, maybe my last 2 or 3 years, nothing crazy, not like a 5, 6, or 10 year span or nothing like that. But I would like to finish my last 2 or 3 years of the training division. And the reason for that is that I want to show people that you, at whatever age that might be, or how many years on the job that might be, that it's still okay to be professional. It's still okay to love the job. It's still okay to get in gear. It's still okay to work out. It's still okay to hold yourself and your friends accountable. And I think that's so big for kids in the training division, or in the recruits to see, because for the most part, a lot of the people sometimes, and not in the in the JFR, I don't mean this in the JFRD or nothing, but just in general, I know I'm blessed enough to travel the country, so I see it across the country quite a bit. For the most part, the training division in some departments are an afterthought. And you don't have sometimes your best individuals there. So it's important, I think, for kids to come in and be like, man, that cat's like fucking 48 years old or 52 years old. And he's still out here loving the job. He's still preaching to do the job the correct way. He's still out here working out with us. That sets a tone that can't be replaced out in the field, my brother.
Boom, 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 shots fired. I 100% agree. I think it's imperative that if you teach whatever attire that the student's in, you're in. I've said that before. I think it goes a very long way in the student just going, okay, shit. Like it's easy for this
Absolutely.
person to talk, but they're with us thick and thin. They're sweating, they're getting wet. If it's raining, they're cold, they're hot. That's 100% facts. And
Thanks.
from that, the physical fitness to showing that you actually love the job, because the thing I can't understand is, you hear it all the time, this generation, that these new people we're hiring coming in, they are seeing what you are portraying. So
Correct.
if you are portraying the job of, I don't really care, I'm a shit bag, I look sloppy, I'm unconditioned, they're gonna go, well, when I get to that point, like that's okay because
Correct.
such and such
Correct.
emulates that role. It is so important that to me, if we can catch them as they come in going, listen, these are the standards, this is your precedence, this is how you need to be. If they can set that standard for themselves, if they are ever surrounded by that culture of complacency and laziness, they'll go, okay, that's good for you, but it's not good for me.
Correct. And honestly, try to think about it. I try not to get too involved in thinking that I'm going to affect everybody, but I'm trying to affect a certain percentage. If you go back to like an old quote, and I hate not being able to quote the individual correctly, but is it 33%? 33% shouldn't be there. 33% are okay at best. 33% are good, and then you have 1% that are heavy hitters. You're not going to affect the 33% that shouldn't be there. They don't give a fuck about you. You're not going to affect the 33% that are okay at best. But the 33% that are good, you're going to set an example for them that are going to, they're going to be like, okay, you just caught 33% of that recruit class that is hopefully going to come out and emulate, literally emulate what you are doing. The one percenters, the one percenters that are there, they're gonna fucking be rock stars. No matter if you're a fat ass or a fucking or if you're a slob, a fat ass, or you're or a badass fireman, the 1% are gonna be rock stars. I said 33, the 33% that suck, whether you're a slob or you're a rock star, they're still gonna suck. The okay at best are gonna stay okay at best. Those 33% that are good, those are the ones that I'm aiming for. Those and you, they'll show, they'll follow you without you even noticing. Without, just go about your work the correct way and they'll follow you. And that's really, so I truly believe that. And at the end of my career, that's where I want to eventually end up. Now,
I
actually,
love it.
never been asked that question. Tell you the truth, that's the first time I've ever been asked that question.
I love it. I love the answer. I love the reasoning behind it. And to me, those percentages are in all fire departments. I don't care where you're at. I mean, I would say at least a good majority of departments have those percentages of people broken down. And the fact that
Right.
you mentioned that we can't change it all, like once you get past that, once you understand, okay, I can't change it all, but I can affect maybe those that kind of want to get better, but then make sure to put yourself in a position where If you're with that 33% that doesn't get it, do your time and get out of there. Go find the ones that you want to be around. And I love your
Correct.
message. I love it.
Correct. Yeah. And your message has to be deliberate, but at the same token, not be obnoxious. You know, like if I would make a random ass analogy about fucking like, let's say you're a God-fearing man, and you're at a fucking street corner, fucking sitting there with a bullhorn in your hand. Oh, fucking Jesus is coming, and he's re repent for your sins, this and that. But as a God-fearing man, I could go up to that dude in the street corner and be like, hey, bro, listen. I get you. I love your message. I'm actually on my way to church right now too. But listen, dog, you're scaring the fuck out of people. You need to stop. You ain't gonna get anybody right now. You need to figure out how to tone this down and fucking be relatable to people and be and some and have some type of credibility. Because if not, you just look like a fucking wacko on the street corner, and ain't nobody gonna come and nobody listening to your message either. So that's a very kind of a random analogy of like how we should approach being passionate about the fire service. You should be passionate and never make any apologies for loving the job, but at the same token, I can't go out there and be that version of the street corner like, you need to love the job. If you don't, you're a shit bag. Good fuck, dude. Fuck yeah. Fuck, you know.
I love it. I love it, man. Pablo, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, man. This has been an awesome conversation. I truly hope coming up, you're able to get that engineer's position, and I'll be able to, hopefully I'll be able to see you tailoring getting that inner child out,
Yeah, bro.
that
Hopefully.
you want, man. So
Hopefully, bro.
I'm wishing you the
Hopefully.
best on that.
I appreciate it, Danny. Thank you for the invite, my brother. It was a damn pleasure, man. I look to do it. Look forward to do it again, you know, hopefully one day.
Hey, definitely, definitely, man. I'll hold you to it.
Yeah, buddy.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.